Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
The gospel reading this morning comes from John 20, verses 1 to 2, and 13 to 18. Mary of Magdala gets up before dark to do her duty, with no thought that already the world has been turned upside down. The angel at the Garden of Eden was there to keep us out. Jesus meets us in the garden to send us out into the world. So John 20, 1 to 2 from the New Revised Standard Version. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Continuing, John 20, 13 to 18. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. These things we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are, another resurrection day, another day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, knowing the ending of a story changes the way we receive it. The story of Jesus' crucifixion on Good Friday, in which we read the scriptures that tell of Jesus' horrible death and of the efforts of two people, some friends, to secure his body and a proper place of burial. Our passage today begins with an even darker possibility. In the pre-dawn darkness, Mary of Magdala comes sorrowfully to the tomb in order to complete the proper burial duties for Jesus. And she discovers the body is gone. Now, Mary assumes maybe someone broke into the tomb, perhaps in order to make good money from the tomb of a famous teacher. It's not an unreasonable guess, actually. Potions and powders would sometimes be made from the remains of famous people. I know that sounds pretty gruesome, but it's true. The problem is we know what's coming next. We've seen this movie before, and while our knowledge adds perception, it can take away from the drama. So imagine, if you will, Mary was told by Jesus before his death that he would come back and that on the third day he would rise up. She knew the story, but in her grief and in her shock and in her sorrow, she didn't quite connect the dots. Grief, you see, had gotten in the way of seeing the truth of what was happening. Meanwhile, the rest of the disciples are shut in a room where Jesus told them to wait for him on the third day. Yet their fear clutched them and took away from their faith. You see, grief from a past gone and fear of the future got in the way of everyone seeing their destiny ahead of them. And so here is Mary. Imagine you are her, and the shock of discovering the tomb is empty and there's no body in there. You think, am I in the right place? Or worse, you're thinking, has someone broken into this sacred place and performed a horribly sacrilegious act? Mary was stuck in her grief, and the disciples were trembling with fear, and all of them forgot what Jesus actually told them. When the two disciples and Mary went back to look in the tomb, they were stunned. And perhaps all of them stood in the garden outside of the tomb, not knowing what to do next. I want to talk about the garden for a moment. The garden is a powerful symbol in Scripture. The garden outside Jesus' tomb, in its own way, is a garden with a real tree of life, a peaceful place, a place where the resurrection was about to blossom and bloom into something new that was happening. It is a garden where real life emerges for all to share. So I want to ask you, friends, are you in that garden of life today? Are you? Now, I know that sounds like a dream, being in the garden of life. But real life emerges, you see, from the darkness. If we turn our hearts and minds to Christ, we can find that light. There are real enemies that we face, but these real enemies that we face can be dispelled and are dispelled. So today I want to talk to you more about our enemy, Satan, who is defeated. Sometimes our heart gardens seem overgrown with the weeds of anything that holds us back from peace and joy, our destiny. Perhaps like the disciples, we find it easier just to live in fear and in intimidation and thinking that nothing is ever going to work out. But the scripture says, you are from God and have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. That means that you've conquered them. Them are the enemy. Them are your thoughts. This will never work out. This is a failure. Every enemy that threatens you in your life has been defeated. God isn't in heaven right now fighting to deliver you or save you, because that has already been done. Over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came out of the grave in that garden, the enemy of our lives was defeated. He took care of everything that is holding you back in life. He took care of it once and for all. The scripture says he rendered the enemy powerless. He brought him to naught. That means naught means zero. He brought the enemy to zero. Now here's the thing. Because you belong to God, you've already defeated the enemy. Anything that is in your way in life, see it as defeated. Don't pray for victory. Pray from victory. Pray from victory. Dear Lord, you might say, dear Lord, thank you that I have already overcome a problem. Thank you that I'm free. Thank you that I am on my way to being healthy. Thank you that I am prosperous. Thank you that I have joy. Thank you. You see, the challenge is this. Even though the enemy is defeated, the scripture goes on to say he goes about like a roaring lion. But he's not really a lion. He's like a lion. And he roars in your ear. You'll never be well. You'll never succeed. Your marriage is never going to work out. He or she is just too stubborn. You'll never find love again. You'll never meet the right person. You've made too many mistakes. You have no future. The scripture says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let me tell you, ignore the roar. I'm going to say it again. Ignore the roar. Ignore the lies you might be hearing. Give him the zero sign. You have no power over me. You are not going to defeat me because you are already defeated. Because I belong to God. I will prosper. I will be fine. I will gain. I will have joy. I will have peace. And I am at peace. Claim it from a perspective from victory. That's how you resist. And guess what happens when you resist? The roar that you hear turns into a little meow, like a kitten. He will flee from you, but you have to adapt a mindset of victory in your lives. Isaiah tells us, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Where is your mind? Where is your mind today? Is your mind stuck in the past? Grief, failure, the if-onlys? You know what the if-onlys are. If only I was rich. If only I was beautiful. If only I had a partner in life. If only, if only, if only. Don't come from a place of an if-only. Or are you worried? Are you worried about the future? What's going to happen? Fear of what's going to come next? When you know the end of the story, he has risen. He has given us the power. It will change your entire outlook. You can be at peace. You won't live in fear. You won't let your mind focus on those thoughts that are keeping you from your destiny. You won't let doubt affect your future. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And then you will move forward in faith because the path is already cleared for you. Jesus did that on the cross. In Daniel's, it said, in the book of Daniel, it says, the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. When you know your God and what he's done for you, that the enemy is defeated in your life and brought him to zero, you will be strong and you can move forward. You won't be moved by opposition. You won't give up. You won't turn your back in troubled times. Now, what are those enemies, those roars that we hear in our lives? The enemy of depression, the enemy of lack, the enemy of sickness or insecurity, the enemy of addictions. They've already been defeated. And if you don't really understand this, then that lion is going to roar louder and louder in your ear and will keep you from living your destiny at any stage of life. Now, for instance, you can be sitting there right now and saying, well, you know, my life is pretty good. I've been going along and reaping lots of benefits. Things are just fine. I've been successful. My marriage is pretty good. Things are going well. I have faith and have been living in faith for a long time. And then all of a sudden, something happens. And you know what happens. You know something happens and you are stopped dead in your tracks. And you start to move away from your faith. Things are getting really bad. It's happened to all of us. Maybe you've heard this story before. A story about a missionary in Africa. He was traveling along in Africa on a hot, dusty, narrow path, going down a mountainside toward one of the little villages. He was on a horse, and there was a sharp turn in the trail, and the horse suddenly stopped. It sensed that something dangerous was ahead. He couldn't make the horse go and finally got off to look around the bend to see what was going on. And there on the road was a huge snake, about 10 feet long and very thick. It had crawled up on that path and was basking in the sun. He had his head underneath a large flat stone. And just like the horse, the man was gripped with fear. He had been warned about the poisonous and dangerous snakes in the area. He didn't know what to do. There was nowhere for him to turn on that path. So after about 15 minutes, he got up his nerve, and he grabbed the biggest rock he could find. He was going to throw that rock on the flat stone and smash that snake's head. He moved cautiously, trembling with fear. What if I miss? That's what I'd be thinking. What if I miss? So with all his strength, he gathered up that rock and he hurled it on the flat rock. And the snake didn't move, didn't even wiggle. He got a little closer and noticed that the snake was actually dead. Someone came before him and smashed that snake's head with that flat rock and just left him there. Sometimes we are stopped dead in our tracks with fear and anxiety and overwhelm and depression, and we don't realize that the enemy's head has already been crushed. The good news is Jesus did that. Jesus had gone down the path for us and cleared the way so that nothing could harm us. He crushed the enemy's head on the cross. And when Jesus came to earth, he did good things. He healed people. He taught them. He even fought against the powers that be, the governments, so that people can know love and know freedom. But the religious leaders didn't like it. They didn't accept him. He had done no wrong, but they didn't accept him. They were like that snake. They were not coming from a place of life. They put a crown of thorns on his head and put him on a cross to be crucified. And he could have called on legions of angels to save him from that cross, but he didn't do it. He died on that cross for you and me so that our path was clear. Death, you see, would not be the last word, for he has resurrected. It was love that held him to that cross. Love for you and love for me. That kind of love is mind-blowing. It's beyond what we can comprehend. It crushed the snake's head when he gave life for us, when he said, "It's finished." You see, that's all part of God's plan. The scriptures say, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." How easily we get lost when our hearts are overgrown with sadness and anger and worry and fear, when we don't know if a snake is waiting for us down the path. God struck him down. God crushed his head. The snake, you see, that enemy Satan who fills our hearts and minds with all these things, to turn us away from God, to keep us emotionally and physically defeated. And God destroyed that enemy for us. Are you letting a dead snake keep you from moving forward? Guilt, condemnation, fear, confusion, hatred, insecurity, lack, sickness, exhaustion. Those are dead snakes. What is it that is keeping you stuck on the path of life that God wants to unfold for you? Face life from victory. Take steps forward. Don't let fear intimidate or dominate. You might be sitting there right now saying, Pastor Donna, you don't know what I'm about to face. The obstacle is too big. I can't fight this sickness. I have no job and haven't had one for a long time. My talents are wasted, and I'm afraid of snakes. I don't have courage to walk over a snake, even if it's dead. I understand. Let me assure you, God has killed the enemy. The head is crushed. You can walk right on by. For Scripture says, you belong to God. My dear children, you have already won the victory over them because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit in the world. In other words, you have victory over them. Them are the agents of Antichrist because you have that Holy Spirit in you. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit or you're not sure, you can simply pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Power of God in you is greater than any power in the world. The Most High God lives in you. Sometimes we go through things. We're all going to go and face things in our lives so that we sometimes go through them so that we can move closer to God and the power within us. Jesus said, the prince of this world comes but has no power over me. There's a wonderful hymn that is sung. I love this hymn. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You already know the end of this story. But you have to work on your mindset. Those voices that say, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is impossible to overcome. The job is going to beat me up. These people will never change. My child will never learn anything. I will never succeed. My health will never improve. Change your mindset. The enemy has no power over me. Submission to God is taking up that authority that's in you to move forward. You can be attacked at any time. Be on the attack, but do not be under the attack. What are you saying to yourself today? What are you repeating over and over in your mind? When you feel a sudden fear or anxiety, get on your knees. Get on your knees. Become a prayer warrior. Don't tell God what your problems are. God already knows what your problems are. Go to the Bible and find the promises of God. Because you see, God has promised us so many promises that we will have victory. Find them and repeat them over and over. God, I know that you are here to help me to find the path to success. God, I know you are here to overcome whatever enemy is in front of me. The enemies of our lives, they are like a roaring lion. All those sudden, strange, fearful thoughts that jump in your mind, those are lies. Don't believe them. Satan is called also the father of lies and roars in your ear. He's crushed the head of the snake. He's crushed the head of the snake. So today I want you to leave with three things in your mind. Don't pray for victory. Pray from victory. Ignore the roar you hear. And remember, the enemy's head is crushed. And let's say it together. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen indeed, and now go and tell others and set them free. Amen.